There comes a point in the Gospels when the leaders of the people, the Pharisees, come to Jesus and essentially say, Jesus, make this simple for us. What is it that you're trying to teach us? Boil down to its essence your message. And his answer is unforgettable. It's that which we hear in this morning's gospel. And he quotes the Hebrew scriptures. Hear, O house of Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For us, that sums up everything that the Lord wants to tell us. And it reminds us that even from the beginning, even before the world existed, even before we were created, God loved us, had called us by name, that we were held in his heart, and that he has loved us into life, and that the only reason we are here is to fall in love with God, to learn in this life to do what we hope to do perfectly in heaven, and that is to fulfill this command of loving God with every fiber of our being, even as he loves us with every fiber of his being. It's for that that we rejoice and give praise every Sunday, that God's love has been made so remarkably and beautifully manifest to us in the person of Jesus Christ. When you fall in love with another person, let's say that relationship moves into marriage, into this exclusive, permanent relationship, everything in your life changes. You start thinking differently. You do different things. You act differently because the orientation of your life has moved towards this other person and you've been taken out of yourself. For every Christian, that's our goal in life, is to allow God to be so much the center, so much the inspiration, so much the reference point, that everything we do and say, our values, how we spend our money and our time, our commitments, our relationships, all of it is a manifestation of us loving God. And so God becomes the reference point for everything in the life of a Christian. Today's gospel reminds us that we're moving on a continuum from a position of obligation to a position of fulfillment. From a point of asking, what do I have to do to be saved, to asking the Lord every morning, what can I do? What can I do for you, Lord, to manifest your kingdom, to build up your love in other people's hearts, to be the person that you have called me to be? To fall in love with God is to gradually allow him to so transform us that the difference between God and us gets smaller and narrower as we go. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who was a mystical writer, refounded the order of the Cistercians with great passion. This austere order in the Middle Ages was dying because it was such a difficult life to live. Suddenly, Bernard shows up with 30 of his relatives and friends and breathes new life into this order, and it takes over Europe. So by the end of his life, there were like 350 Cistercian monasteries scattered throughout Europe. He was a light in the church of his time. But Bernard talks about the four stages of loving God, and it's so helpful for us to ponder what he says. He says the first stage is simply us loving ourselves for our own sake, just kind of plain, unvarnished selfishness, with us at the center. It's where all of us start, just loving ourselves for our own sake. Then gradually we move into faith, kindergarten of faith, grade school of faith, and we start loving God. But we still love God from our reference point. So our major preoccupation is, what do I get out of the relationship? What consolations, what gifts am I asking God for? I love God, but I'm still the center of the relationship. Third stage is loving God for God's sake. That we're practicing our faith, that we're praying, that we're celebrating the sacraments, not necessarily because we get anything out of it, but because we want to give ourselves to the Lord. And you'd think that would be the highest stage of loving God for God's sake. But St. Bernard adds a fourth point, comes around full circle. He says the fourth and the highest stage of loving God is loving ourselves for God's sake. So we come back to loving ourselves, but now it's from the reference point of God. It's not from a point of selfishness. It's from this beautiful standpoint of seeing ourselves loved by God as adopted daughters and sons of the Father. And so the second commandment is to love our neighbor as ourself. It's exactly what St. Bernard is saying. That in a sense, we cannot love our neighbor if we don't properly see God's love within us. Not out of a selfish perspective, but out of this abundant perspective of God's grace working within us. And so we could ask ourselves this morning, what impediment in our lives keeps us from letting God love us? What obstacle in our life keeps us from seeing our own innate goodness, our own call to holiness? What keeps us from trusting in God's action in our lives? Perhaps it's lukewarmness. Perhaps we've just gotten into a rut of the practice of our faith and nothing seems interesting to us. Perhaps it's anger or fear. Perhaps it's regret or guilt. Perhaps it's a sense of being overwhelmed by the responsibilities or the sufferings of life. We could ask ourselves this week, what is it in my life that gets in the way between God and me? And how can we come to see that obstacle from a different reference point and see it no longer as an impediment, but see it as an invitation to trust God more deeply, let his love sink in further, to be moved to take the next step in our spiritual life? The Lord wants this relationship with us that will abide for eternity. And already through the sacraments, his Trinitarian life has been poured into our souls. And the only thing that pushes it out is our own willfulness and our own sin. So as the Baltimore Catechism reminds us, why did God make you? God made us to know, love, and serve him in this life, and to be happy with him forever in the next. It's as simple and challenging, it's as difficult and wonderful as that. And so when we let the Lord into our life and really take over, everything changes for us. And we come to see the biggest crosses as blessings. We come to see the biggest challenges as opportunities. We come to see the biggest impediments as possibilities. When we truly trust the Lord, we know that his plan is unfolding as it should. And if I can just get out of the way enough to let him work and to act. So it all comes down to trust, surrender, humility. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest of the first commandment. Second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In just a few short years, this life will come to an end. And so we have these precious days and months and years to do something beautiful for God that no one else can do, to prove our love for him while we still live in the dark night of faith, to trust in his promise. And then God willing, if he lets us in at the end, we'll have this glorious vision, not only of God, but of each other and of ourselves. And we'll look back on our earthly life and we'll see that the greatest difficulties turned out to be the greatest blessings. That what I thought was the greatest curse in my life was exactly the door through which I was able to step into salvation. So imagine looking at our life from God's perspective or from the perspective of eternity. Once we're there forever. How short this life is when we put it within the frame of eternity. How precious every moment becomes when we realize that it's in this moment, that God invites us to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul. May this Eucharist be that for us as we continue to celebrate God's love for us, poured out in the extraordinary life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.